Dan Campbell took this Lions job with a vision. That vision has ignited the Lions fan base in a way not seen perhaps ever.
This is a sleeping giant. This is a sports town. And, we feel the love.
Remember who the you are!
NFC North champions,
everybody.
Vision winners, back-to-back seasons.
Your team ain't ours. The pride is worldwide now. Riding to your town, win, then ride out. The crew here to break it down for y'all, to demonstrate how we game plan around with y'all. The humble host with punchlines to give you a black eye. You brought a GM and OC, even a stat guy. Other teams drink the Kool-Aid, roll over and quit. I drank Campbell's soup and woke up all grit.
Welcome back to another episode of the All Grit Podcast. I'm excited for this one. The boys aren't here. Sorry for that. They've had some prior commitments. It's been a busy summer, but we could not go on another week without inviting a special guest today. Happy you're with us today. I want to make a huge introduction to an old friend, Robbie. Robbie, welcome to the show, bro. How you doing?
Man, thanks for having me.
Man, Robbie. So Robbie, just so everybody knows, he's a huge Giants fan. Tell us, bro, like, where did it start? Like, were you watching Eli Manning just slinging it, or like, what was it?
Yeah, it started before Eli. Actually, I grew up in the Central Jersey, so I had Jets and Giants games playing all the time. And I couldn't really pick between the two. I just liked football too much. I just liked both of them equally. I'd watch, you know, from 1 to 7. Usually they would split them up, not at the same time, so that was nice. And then, once I drafted Eli, it was all over. That's when I was like, all right, I'm fully Giants fan now. Jets could never find the quarterback, so I was probably still 5 or 6. So it's not like it took me that long to decide, but yeah. So
you,
I think
a good side, bro.
I guess I was 12 by the time Eli got around. So I fully hopped on the big blue wagon around that time.
Dude, you guys have had some, like, from a Lions fan, you get like, I'm jealous. Like, you guys have had some awesome moments, like. Super Bowl helmet catch, just like iconic moments like that. There's team that wins Super Bowls, but then you guys have won just like memorable Super Bowls. Which one's been like your favorite one?
Man, I was pretty young for the first one, but I still remember it pretty vividly. I was 15, I think, at the time, because that was the 07 one. And yeah, I remember like the whole family. We had like 20 people over. It was the first Super Bowl, you know, I had ever. I think we were on one before when I was like too little to be watching, but so that was the first one me and my family all watched together in like a big group, probably had like 15 of us. And I mean, that one was crazy because I, if I'm remembering correctly, I think that was the year we beat the 17-0 team, but I might be mixing it up.
I think it is. No, I think it is.
I do mix them up a lot because they were pretty together in my mind, even though they were like 4 years apart. But yeah, I remember that last drive and thinking, man, like, there's no way Eli does another 2 minutes. He had like the record in for the most amount of 2 minute comebacks. I think he had 7 of them. Like, and he did it again. So
it's crazy, man. I was on the other end of the Manning family. We talked about this in the last podcast, but I grew up really liking that 05, 06, 07 Colts era with Peyton Manning. There's something about those Manning brothers that just like they knew how to pull a team together. Obviously, they had their dad, Archie, to show them how to do it. But they were great leaders on the field. So nice, bro. So the audience, you know, this is the Lions podcast. You might be wondering, why do we have a Giants fan on the podcast? Well, the Lions are playing the Giants week 11, I believe. So we want to get a head start. But you know, with the offseason, we kind of want to do an episode with around the NFL specifically, get a little more intel about the NFC East. And besides, Robbie's just a solid dude. We used to work together and walk the laundry. So we got to get history there. So, all right, let's talk Giants for a minute. Tell me about Joe Schoen and Brian Daboll, bro. What are your thoughts? Like, Is this a break it or make it year for them? Like, how do you feel as a fan?
Yeah, I think as a fan base, not that I can speak for all of us, but I think as a whole, if we to take the pulse, a lot of us are kind of out on Shane, or maybe like 50 at this point. I think the last two, like last year's draft, he nailed it. We have solid starters. I mean, Malik Nabers, that was a, you can't really miss. But
yeah,
I do. He did first like 3-4 picks, and then Tyrone Tracy in the fourth, Theo Johnson in the fifth, and they're both our, that's our starting running back and starting tight end at this point. And then this year it already looks like, I mean, it's only been two preseason games, but I mean, Abdul Carter is just a monster. It's just, he's already looking like he might be a top five pass rusher. So yeah, the fact that he stayed pat, didn't, you know, didn't get scared and either trade back or, you know, take the quarterback at three, but he was patient. He took the best player in the draft at three. And then, you know, gave up very little capital to go back and get in, you know, get Jackson Dart at 25. I do like his process, so I'm in on him now. Okay with him. His first draft was awful, but you know, there's obviously a learning. I'm not going to be too hard on. And I do like Dable. I think he can develop talent, and I mean, he won Coach of the Year his first year, and we haven't had, so for how our roster's been, I think he's done a fine job, and I'm excited to see. Year, though, now that we do have some more pieces, we have second year Malik Nabers, we have Abdul Carter, we have a lot of guys that we just also signed at the agency that are going to be a big addition to the team. So I think if he can be, you know, somewhere around 500 this year, I think that would be a big accomplishment.
Big step. Yeah, you guys have a really good defense, man. Like I wish we had Dexter Lawrence. Like the dude is a manhandler. You guys have always had a good defense, but what helped us as Lions, like when we had that turning point, is finally when the offense clicked. Like, how do you feel about your offense right now with like the quarterback situation? Like, how's that looking?
Still not confident, but I mean, there's only one way to go. We've been bottom three, I think, for 10 years now in almost every major stat, including like offensive line play, quarterback play. Bracelet stopped playing. Our quarterback play has been bottom five, bottom 10. And offense overall has been literally, I think we're ranked the worst over the last 10 years. So I am excited, though. Our offensive line seems, I mean, preseason is hard to tell, but I mean, they had a very solid preseason. We have more depth, which has been our big problem the last few years, because we do have Andrew Thomas, left tackle. I mean, he's probably a top five left tackle in the league. Situation's fine. He's solid. He's average. But yeah, still the two guards in the center are a little below average, but
yeah,
every time Andrew Thomas goes out, we have nobody to replace him. And we just immediately, like, we were playing a guy, literally he was like off the couch. That was a joke. He was retired, hadn't played, and he was hard. Brought him in off the couch to play left tackle. Like that was 2 years ago. So we finally have a little more, and we do have more playmakers. I mean, just Malik Nabers and Tyrone Tracy alone, I think. I mean, last year with bad quarterback play and below average offensive line play, they both like broke for yards. So I think there is a nice ceiling there, but we're still our floor.
What are your thoughts so far on Jackson Dart? Like, he's turning some heads here in the preseason. What are your thoughts?
I mean, you know, it's still preseason, but I'm encouraged by what I saw. I mean, he had 13 completions. He's making good decisions. I mean, they're playing smart. They're giving him plays that he's good at, that he knows well, that quick RPO stuff but he's shown good touch. Like, to me, it's more the eye test versus the stats. Like, the stats have been good too, but I don't really care how good your stats are, especially in college, because like so much depends on what was around you. So, but what I'm seeing in training camp, like, I've watched all the training camp practices. I was there for one of them. And he's been layering the ball well. He's made good decisions. He's gone the right spot with the ball. He's showed a lot of just, you know, intelligence. He knows when to run. He's not always looking around, but when it's there, he's been taking it. And like, you can tell, he's got good mobility. He's not the fastest guy, but he's kind of like almost reminded me of like Bo Nix last year, or like an older Russell, fastest, but he's got the quickness to escape the rush and then quickly get up. So I like seeing that, because especially come from Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was fast. He broke the record for speed. Like, he ran 23 miles per hour, but he wasn't quick. He couldn't, you know, those little left and the right. So I was really encouraged to see his escapability. And then especially I didn't expect him to have such a nice, like, layered throw. he was, you know, a couple of screen passes, he was like putting them over, like, you know, over the guy's outstretched arm, and like he was doing some nice sidearm stuff, and just like nice 25-yard passes over the middle, which, you know, Jones didn't have touch at all. So at least maybe I'm just not used to it, but it's been refreshing to see someone who has a little touch to his pass.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a minute since you guys have had like a stable quarterback situation. I do need to ask. So the Giants were on HBO Hard Knocks. It was like last season or two seasons ago. And they had that clip where Joe Shane's got his family and, you know, talking about the draft. And he asked his son, like, should I draft Jaden? You know, who should I draft? The kid's like, draft Jaden Daniels. Like, just trade up for him. And so it was just kind of like a joke. He should have listened to his son. What are your thoughts, bro? Like, I know you need two people to dance. Like, maybe they couldn't get a trade partner to go up. But looking back.
My understanding of that whole situation was that they did try. And they love Jaden Daniels and Drake May. So they were correct. They assessed it well. Like, they're both going to be a great quarterbacks. Yeah. And they did everything they could in the page, because they even showed, like, I found some clips on YouTube with them on the phone with the Patriots. Patriots like, no, we're not. Nothing you can say is going to get. And they're not, the Commanders were never going to trade in division. So it was just not going to happen. But I it does sound like they really did try. It's just they didn't get a partner to trade with. So.
Dang. Yeah, sometimes you need the right price.
JJ McCarthy, and they did take Malik. Even though I have nothing against JJ McCarthy, but I thought at that point he wasn't good enough to pass on someone like Malik's that talent. You know.
Yeah, y'all made the right decision. Like, I'm a Michigan fan, so I watched JJ for plenty of years. I would have taken Malik Nabers as well at that point, and like the dude's going to be like top five wide receiver. It could be debatable right now, but by the end of the year, I think this dude's going to like pop off.
In what had around him, I think he's proved he's already top five. Like, he already had over 100 receptions, over 1,000 yards, and 7 touchdowns with Drew Locke and Daniel Jones throwing the ball. Like, after Thomas went down, we were ranked O-line too. So he had nothing around, and he still found a way to get all those numbers. So,
yeah. Yeah, the dude's insanely athletic. And, I mean, defense is new. It's pretty much going to go to him, and he still got his stats and numbers pretty high. So, going into the season for Lions fans, what's maybe a surprise name? What's maybe a name that we should know heading into the season? Maybe not a Dexter Lawrence or a Malik Nabers, but someone maybe that stood out in camp, or someone that you guys got this offseason that we should know.
Well, I think someone who could have a breakout year is Theo Johnson. He's our tight end that we drafted last year. We took him, I think, in the 5th round. He's very athletic, really big, very fast. He didn't have a ton of production in college, so like he's kind of a no-name guy, but his measurables starts. So, and Russ loves throwing to tight ends. He either throws the deep moon ball on the sideline or he goes to the tight ends. I do think he could have a very big year. As far as defense, maybe players that are not as known, obviously at this point, I think everyone knows who Abdul Carter is. And if they don't, they're going to find out pretty sure. But I do think, as a bold, not so bold prediction, he's going to be DPS's Rookie of the Year. I think it's not even going to be close. But you can circle back to that in, you know, 4 or 5 months and see where. But that would be my one of my takes for the Giants this year. I think he's going to take the league by storm. I think he's the next Micah Parsons, but I think he has the ability to be better, which I thought it was really cool that Parsons, who's on our rival team, obviously the Penn State, but he said, you know, he was asked about Abdul Carter. And he's like, oh, what do you think? You think he's the next, you know, great linebacker turn edge rusher from Penn State? He's like, he's going to be the best of us. Dang. So Micah Parsons.
He's got a bigger frame.
Yeah. Actually, no, Micah Parsons is actually bigger than Abdul. Really? He's got 30. Yeah. So Abdul is 1 inch taller, but 30 pounds lighter.
Oh, wow.
Why funny enough.
Bigger?
I think just the 1 inch, maybe just the 1 inch taller. He might be, and his frame is bigger, but he's 30 pounds lighter, and that could change. He's still, 19, 20, whatever age he is. So that on, but I'm excited. We picked up cornerback Paulson Adebo from the Saints to be our cornerback one, but I think as for you guys, like that, I can get really in depth with our team, but I think our defensive line going to be top three in the league in sacks.
I
think our defense is still a little suspect, but I think between Dex, Burns, Abdul, Kayvon, I just think we're going to be top five is like the bottom for me. I think we could be the best defensive line in the league.
Yeah. I feel like all NFC East teams, minus the Cowboys. So you guys, Commanders, Eagles, you guys have all like stocked up those trenches on the defensive line. Like going against you guys on the defensive line is a nightmare. Especially that, like I mentioned, Dexter Lawrence, that dude's just, he could probably just be there by himself, honestly. Taking triple teams.
Yeah, the numbers are insane for him. I think it was something like, pressures from the position where he rushes last year, I think he had something, and the second next guy was like 22. Like it's heard of what he's doing from that spot.
Yeah, all by himself. So what about Kayvon Thibodeau, bro? Like I know his name's kind of been thrown around as a possible trade. It could be just social media banter, but like how's he looked since he's been drafted, and he's been compared to Aiden Hutchinson, right, in the same draft?
Well, yeah, he's not anything like Aiden Hutchinson, unfortunately. But I think if we forgot where he was drafted, he's a fine player. Yeah. I think he's just a solid average defensive end. But when you're drafted fifth overall, you expect to be a lot more than that. So I try to forget the fact of where he was drafted. But I think he's perfect. I think he's average at stopping the run. He's good. He's athletic. He's big enough to play all three downs. So I think he's a solid piece, but he's nothing. I don't think he's not like old, Hall of Fame kind of guy where I think Abdul and Dex absolutely will be.
Dang. Well, what are your team expectations for the year? What will the Giants accomplish by the end of the year?
I think, record-wise, I'm very, very unsure. I think the range of outcomes is very big. I could see us winning two games legitimately. We have the first or second hardest schedule in the league. I think it's first, but it's like it's right up there. We open with the Commanders and Cowboys, which is the two over the, and then we're home against Chiefs, Chargers. Like our first four are like. I think we're only favored in one game this year. And it's like almost every team last year or winning record. I don't like maybe one or two teams were playing that had a losing record last year. So I think a lot of improvement. I do think the roster is a lot better this year. I think if I had to guess, our improvements would be our offense is going to go from 30th, 31st in the league to like 25th. Which for Giants fans, that's a lot of improvement in my book. we've been like 30th in the league in offense for pretty much the last 10 years, with the exception of like one, random year where Jones and Barkley stayed healthy and went off together and we won that playoff game randomly. Other than that, our offense has been abysmal. And I think, I think that the biggest thing we're looking for as Giants fans is just our defense to be a top five unit, because I think our defensive line is a no-brainer top five unit, but we need the secondary to back it up. So,
All right. Well, I got to ask Saquon, how did that feel with him walking away? Like at the time, were you like, okay, smart move, we can't pay him too much, or were you kind of heartbroken?
Both. Yeah. Both. Cause I'm a fan, very logical. As a thinker, like I would love to be a GM, like make those hard decisions. I might have made the same one, with his injury history. Of course, he goes to our rival and doesn't get hurt once and wins the Super Bowl. But, you know, while we had him,
yeah,
our offensive line was good enough to do it, to block for him. And he got hurt. Yep. He literally got back to the huddle. He like rolled his ankle and was out for 6 weeks. So I think it was just a bad, we weren't ready for him. And a running back is never going to take you to the mountaintop. Like, yeah, he could put you mountaintop, but it's not going to take you there. So
yeah,
we need to start at the bottom, you know, do what we kind of did, build the defensive trench. Wish we would build we've been trying to build our offensive trenches. We just keep missing, you know, we whiffed on Evan. So I agreed with that. I think in principle it made perfect sense, but in reality, I took a big toll on the team. And, you know, he was our guy. He was the fans' favorite team. Oh, yeah, that one.
Y'all drafted him. Yeah, it stinks, but like a great running back like that isn't like a building piece. It's like that last missing piece to take you to a Super Bowl, which was what the Eagles did. You know, they had everything else lined up and he was the missing piece. But we I don't know if you remember DeAndre Swift. He's on the Chicago Bears now, but we drafted him. He was always getting hurt, and we end up trading him to the Eagles. Doesn't get hurt and just has an amazing season with them. When they had a deep playoff run. So I know the feeling where it's just like, okay, dude, like you couldn't do that here. Like couldn't stay healthy. So, man. All right. So you've been at camp a few times. I think you were at the preseason game, right? I saw some pictures where you guys were there. Yep. Want to know a little more about the Jets. Like, so Aaron Glenn, our defensive coordinator in Detroit, we love the guy. We always knew he was going to be head coach. So we're super happy that he went back to his old team. From our perspective, things have sounded good. Like things are going well, considering it's the Jets. But what was your perspective in joint practice in camp with Coach Aaron Glenn now?
So the camp was interesting because it was, you know, with a joint camp, there's just, you know, ones on ones, twos on twos. So you kind of see everybody. And it was very similar. Both defensive lines kind of shut down the other offense, and both offenses couldn't do it. But honestly, the biggest thing that stuck out to me when I was watching the Jets, their offense, Justin Fields can't throw the ball, to put it blunt.
I would have thought he would have a perfect match with Garrett Wilson. Like they're college buddies. Like, oh, like on paper, I was like, that's going to be a great fit. But
Jets are my second favorite team, so I'm not just being a hater. Like,
okay, the Jets. Okay. Yeah,
I'm not. Oh, I like the Giants, so I hate the Jets. Like, I love the Jets, but I'm hoping the best for Fields. I've always liked him as a guy. Like, he seems like a nice dude. He's easy to root for, but he just like, and it was stark. Like, as soon as he would come out and the twos would come in, or they'd replace him with their backup quarterback, he did great. Like, he would find someone open and hit him. But like whenever Fields was in, it was like overthrown, dirt ball. Like he was completion percentage was awful. And in the preseason game, so telling to me. So the first two drives while Fields was in, I think their run to pass ratio was like 9 runs to like 1 pass or 2 passes, both in completions. And the most telling thing though was it was 3rd and 8. So 3rd and 8 from midfield. Okay. And they ran a ball. So, like, they didn't trust him to throw the ball. Like, if they get the first down, field goal range. Like, that. If there's ever a time you need to throw the ball, it's on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. And, like, you're trying to get into field goal range. And they ran a draw. He can't stand when they know that he has to throw. And there's no, like, and they're going to put a key. They know they're going to spy on him. He's not going to be able to just scramble out, like, without anyone noticing. I just don't think he's that guy.
Yeah. That's interesting, bro. So the Jets took a lot of our Lions coaches. So now the new offensive coordinator for the Jets is Tanner Engerstrand. He was our passing game coordinator. He was basically Ben Johnson's assistant. We all thought that he was going to be our new offensive coordinator, but Aaron Glenn took him with him. So that 3rd and 8 run kind of like draw, we do that. Just that's in our playbook as Lions, because everybody's expecting the throw and we'll get 10 yards out of it a lot of the times.
That's what happened.
I wonder if that's his style, like Tanner took that style too, or like you're saying, maybe they just don't trust the guy.
I think it very much the play they wanted to see if it was going to work. But at the same time, the whole drive, the whole first two drives, they just didn't let him throw. When he did, he wasn't completed. Yeah. Like, I think he might have had two completions, and they were never, they were not anything past 5 yards. He just didn't look good. He didn't look confident.
Yeah. Man. Defensive coordinator, the Jets now have Steve Wilks too, so that's a familiar face. Trey Bly. Okay, he was our defensive backs coach. So Aaron Glenn took him too. Steve Heiden is now offensive line for the Jets. He was our tight ends coach. So yeah, Aaron Glenn took quite a bunch of guys with him over there.
I will say that the one positive for the Jets, their O-line looks great, like run blocking. It like just ran us over in the preseason game. I mean, they didn't throw the ball. They didn't really have to the first two drives. They got into field goal position both times. Yeah. You know, so they did look good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jets is one of those teams that's like always been kind of a dumpster fire. And like, I related as a Lions fan, like we were always a dumpster fire too. So it's teams like that, that I'm just kind of like rooting for, like I want them to succeed. Browns, as much as it's Ohio, like you kind of want them to turn it around, you know, it's been so long. So hopefully the Jets here with Aaron Glenn, they can make some changes, you know, get back on track and be legit.
I hope so too.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, give us a breakdown to the NFC East. Starting off with the Eagles, returning Super Bowl champions, kind of stinks being in the division. It would suck if the Packers or, you know, Vikings won the Super Bowl and playing them. But how are the Eagles looking from your perspective this offseason?
I mean, I haven't overly followed their specific offseason, but I don't see how they're not the division winners again. You know, the Cowboys got worse. I don't have any reason to think this will happen, but it just seems to happen a lot where someone like Jaden Daniels, who has that good of a rookie season, will not replicate it. I just feel Baltimore slump is so common, and I think it could happen just because, not to jump around. Sorry, you asked about the Eagles, but I don't really have anything else except for they're going to be great again. and I think it doesn't help. The Cowboys are going to be worse this year. I don't think they're going really anywhere. I think they'll be right around 500, which for them is a pretty bad season. I think a little bit worse overall, just because their schedule last year was very easy. They ended up playing like a record high of like 6 or 7 backups, like 7 out of like their whatever 11 wins were against like Cooper Rush, Drew Lock, like just a lot of not good. Spencer Rattler, like they're playing bad teams with their backup quarterbacks and getting a lot of wins. Like, we're not good last year, and we lost by like a field goal where we should have won. And like both games were close. So it's not like they're as good as they seemed. I mean, they played you guys very well. I think that was just like, you know, Jaden Daniels come out game, but you know, those are all will happen. And your guys' defense did that by that point. So
yeah, dude, you know, it was decimated.
Yeah, like, I think a team, you guys would have just obliterated them. I don't think it would have been close. But, I do think Jaden Daniels is better, though. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. I just think it's just so often they have that sophomore slump.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've heard maybe, like, I don't know if the rumors, but just kind of, like, different articles and things like that, maybe the people aren't happy with each other over on the Commanders camp. With
can't sign
Samuel coming, like there's just kind of like some culture stuff, I guess. Some I'm praying and
Terry will get signed before week one so we can play without him, like play against them without him.
Yeah,
he destroys every time. He's such an underrated. If he's not there for them, like they're gonna struggle. Yeah. I don't care if they have defense without him. Yeah.
I will tell you that the Lions coaching staff, they do take certain losses personal. So like 2 years ago, you know, we lost against the Cowboys at the end of the season on that dumb 2-point conversion that wasn't you know, like that whole debacle and not reporting eligible. So then, you know, this last season, we just lay it on them, put 50 on them, and just let the whole playbook open at Jerry World on purpose. So I will say for sure that the Commanders game is circled. It is circled on Dan Campbell's calendar, and that will be a fun game to watch. I'm expecting to win that game, but they sometimes win with style when they take it personal. I think that'll be a win for us. And just hearing from your side, just the sophomore slump, and some of their wins last year were just against second string quarterbacks, which I didn't know. So, it should be a better season. Cause in that playoff game, that one hurt. So yeah, that playoff game hurt, but there was nothing we could do with the injuries. It's crazy that playoff game, we had guys, basically the whole linebacking crew and defensive line that's now playing in this past weekend's preseason. So it's like other years, it's like you don't really know who the preseason players are, and it's just like, oh yeah, these guys were just in the playoff game. So
yeah,
I think just by getting our guys healthy, we're going to come back strong. Our guys, we're thinking top five defense as well. And
I think you're the only team that.
Say that again.
I think you guys were the only team, if you were healthy, that would have beat the Eagles. I don't think any of the AFC teams were going to do it.
I wish I could have seen that game, man.
So just I'm hoping this year
the Eagles are playing, and if we were healthy, just to see them go at it, like just to be able to see what we really were. But hopefully this year we get to see it. So to end the podcast here, this episode, just for our Lions fans, from outside looking in, Robbie, what are your thoughts on Lions, Dan Campbell? You know, he used to be a New York Giant back in the day. Just outside looking in, what's the perception from the NFL?
I mean, I love the Lions. Like, as my team has been terrible, I've been following your guys' rise. And, you know, I have Game Pass, so I watch all the games, and I've loved watching the Lions. I mean, my interpretation, I mean, Dan Campbell, how do you not like rooting for a guy like that, you know? My only worry is that losing Ben Johnson is going to hurt. I'm sure you guys have had full podcasts about that already. But
yeah.
I'm really hoping that, you know, you find a way. But I do think I don't think you have any really holes. I think you have a solid A quarterback. You have an A-plus offensive line. I mean, I think Hutchinson's a top five D end. I'm not too familiar with the rest of the defensive line. I know they're just all solid across the board. That when I think of the Lions, I just think solid, like across the board. Not like that just one superstar, aside from maybe, you know, Hutch and like Amon-Ra. Even them, they're still kind of like those low key superstars where like they're, you know, they're not divas, which I think that's why likable. But yeah, you guys are a fun team to watch and an easy team to root for, and I think the whole country will be rooting for you guys if you make it to the bowl this year. And that's my prediction, is you guys beat the Eagles. And hopefully a new team from the AFC, because I'm tired of seeing the Chiefs, but you know, we'll see.
Same here, bro. Same here. I was just talking to some friends that came over from Phoenix, and they told me that there's Lions parties, Detroit Lions parties in Phoenix. Like every time they had a game, there'd be these big tailgates. And it's like, yeah, come to watch the Lions game. And this is like in Phoenix, Arizona. So that just goes to show, like, it feels like the Lions have become America's team now. They've supplanted the Detroit, or they've supplanted the Dallas Cowgirls.
All right.
You're back. So, final prediction for Lions season this year, Robbie?
Man, I would say 13-4.
Ooh.
Beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. And I don't want to call the Super Bowl because I don't know who's making it to play against you yet. So, it'll depend on who plays you. But I would say you guys the Super Bowl. You can ask me if you make it, then you can re-ask me if I think you're going to win, but I got to see who makes it there from the AFC first.
All right. Yeah. We'll have you back on in November for the Giants Lions game that week. But man, that's a huge compliment. I think even as Lions fans, we're like 11 wins, maybe 12 wins. Like, we got a hard schedule up ahead too. So we'll see, man. Hopefully this year you get more than 3 wins. I think you'll get like 5 or 6. Yeah, because your defense can get those takeaways, man.
Yeah. Well, if I'm back in November, I want to throw a couple predictions out there. See if I'm right. So I'm not gonna predict wins because I'm really unsure of that. But players, I think Abdul Carter by then will have 6.5 sacks. And I think our defensive line as a whole will be 3rd in sacks overall at that point in the season.
Wow.
I think Malik Nabers will have 750 receiving yards by then. Those are my predictions.
Hey, man. Yeah, if your defensive line is like 3rd in sacks, that's, you guys should have some wins behind that, is what I'm thinking. So
I hope so. I'm still only going to probably 3 wins by then, though.
Yeah.
I think we'll be 3 when we get to you guys.
Nice, bro. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, bro. We'll definitely have you back. I think you guys will get another win this preseason against the Patriots this next weekend. Let us know. Post some pictures if you go to camp again, go to the game. And we'll definitely have you a friend of the show and have you back. So appreciate you coming on, Robbie.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for calling in, everybody. Have a great week.